Okay, right.
All right.
That works.
Okay.
Mark has to be with me. Last time I recorded a guest, I did it on my own, and I didn't have the guest's microphone up, so...
Oh.
It was awful. So all you hear is me going, so, tell us about this... Well, the thing is... It's just... We were there for like 30 minutes, but we're recording now, so that's good. You ready, Mark?
These are pretty much...
Oh,
I'm going to
record. Do you go back to the States straight after the gigs?
No, I go to Paris.
Oh, okay, lovely.
And then I come back for the men's final at Wimbledon. And
really?
Then I go back to the States for the premiere of Curb in New York.
Right.
And then I'm performing in Chicago.
You're living the showbiz dream, man. This is the dream.
The
tennis
dream is
premieres.
That I guess, you know. I'm not big on premieres. I'm looking forward to the tennis. You know, yeah. I don't really like premieres.
You're not a fan of going up the red carpet and...
Oh, I can't stand it. Really? Cannot stand it. But, you know, if they... If I'm in something,
yeah,
I'm good to go with the red carpet. And then recently, my friend, J.J. Abrams, this movie Super 8, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I went to the premiere because he's my friend.
Yeah.
I'd already seen the movie, you know, but he's my friend, you know, and I like being there and supporting. And they said, and I was skipping the red carpet, and his partner who runs his company goes, we didn't have you here for your good looks. Get on the carpet.
So work I went it, on the man. Carpet. Work it.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, we'll start now if you're okay.
I'm all good.
I'm joined in the studio, very exciting, by Jeff Garlin. Jeff, it's nice to meet you.
A pleasure.
You're over here. Well, I had the honour of interviewing your on-screen wife about 5 years ago.
Susie,
yes.
Yes.
And we were terrified because being a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm, she's probably got the pottiest mouth on the show.
Yes, on the show, she certainly does, yes.
And so we had to have like a kind of panic crisis meeting because it was going to go out live, and we had to do all this. Well, now, if she says this, then we have to ask her to leave. But she
would never do that.
She's the sweetest woman in
the
world.
Yeah, she's very sweet. She's a very close friend of mine and my wife's.
Really?
Yeah.
You kind of get the impression from watching Curb that everyone is friends on there because it's
Oh, we're all
relaxed.
Very close friends.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. In all the years, we've never had a fight, none of us. It's all, we're just really happy to be there and we're having
really?
A great time. Yeah.
I tell you what, because I was watching, I've been kind of, season 8 is starting very, very soon, which I'm incredibly excited about. And I've been doing a bit of a recap and I've watched the first 3 seasons. Yesterday I watched season 1, I think it was, episode 1 of season 4.
The pants, oh, season 4.
Yeah.
Which one was that, the restaurant or is that the producers?
It's the Mel Brooks, the producers.
The producers, okay.
And there's a bit. Well, you're waiting for a lift, and Larry David is going, my big fat fucking friend.
Yeah.
And you're just giggling away. Now, is that genuine giggling, or does that not get on your nerves?
Now I've never been asked that before, and I have to say, I don't ever laugh on the show, really.
Right.
I mean, when I say, I don't act laughing, yeah. I'm really laughing.
Right.
Yeah, it's just goofy that he says that it's stuff
to me. I could kind of tell that you weren't acting because it is this lovely thing where you genuinely, you don't even look at him, but you just start giggling like a 15-year-old boy when your older, slightly ruder friend has said something funny. Is it true that you kind of helped come up with the idea?
Oh, yeah. I approached him. Well, I didn't even approach him. We ended up at lunch one day, and he was asking me about what's going on in the comedy scene, you know? Yeah. And because I've never stopped doing comedy.
Right.
I still do it even now. I'm in town doing it. And he asked me about, you know, what the comedy scene was. And I said, you know, if I ever want to do an HBO special, I have the perfect idea, which was Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm. So I told a genius, and a genius gave me a career.
And it's a fantastic show. And you said you're doing stand-up as well. We'll do the business properly later, but you're at the Soho Theatre this week.
Yes, yes.
Is this the first time you've played in
I've
the
never
UK?
Played London before, yep.
Are you going to... I was talking to a
the United Kingdom. It is my first time in the United Kingdom.
Can you do a British accent?
Hello. I suppose I could. I went yesterday to Topshop. Hello, welcome to Topshop. And my children got some clothes at Topshop.
It's kind of a mix between Dick Van Dyke and Prince Charles you've got going on there.
Oh, what I'm doing? I have no idea. I'm so influenced by English comedy.
Yeah.
The Goon Show,
wow,
Monty
really?
Python.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all through whatchamacallit, which I love. Oh God, my brain
is it recent?
The Mighty Boosh.
The Mighty Boosh. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay. saying all the way through yeah. that. I'm big on English comedy, so the accents yeah. certainly have been in my head for a long time. I've never been asked to do one before.
Well, you've done it.
Hope I didn't embarrass myself.
You did it superbly.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
We had a guest in last week who's a magician, and he's English, and he went and played in Vegas, and he was saying he had.
Is this the guy with the show here?
No. Is there a magician with a show here?
There's some guy with a show here. It's supposed to be great. I don't know. Go ahead.
Do you like magic?
I like close-up magic, yeah. kind
of. You're not a fan of the David Copperfield?
Oh, God, no.
Really?
Yeah.
He made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Oh, I know, and it was gone, and we all screamed. You know, come on. That's a bunch of crap. You know, I don't like that.
Okay. But he was saying that when he played Vegas, he had to change some of the script. So instead of talking about he was walking down the pavement and he saw a tramp, it was I was going down the sidewalk and I saw a bum. Are you changing any of your language for us?
Not at all. I mean, I know lift is elevator, but I don't think I have any elevator. No, I'm not changing it because I think I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like what you just used as an example,
yeah.
I was walking down the pavement and I saw a tramp.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if people don't understand that, they're pretty stupid. I understand if you tell me you've been walking down the pavement and you yeah. saw a tramp and you've got an English accent. I know what you're talking about.
But your average punter in Vegas.
Well, yeah, we're talking about your average punter in Vegas. I don't know what a punter is except for American football. But I assume that the people who like Curb, who yeah. live here, you know, this is the thing that threw me.
Yeah.
I played in Ireland before. I did the Cat Laughs Festival in Kilkenny the first year.
Yeah.
And I remember the audiences being so smart, and I was so disappointed in most of the English and Irish comedians because they were playing at a level that a punter, as you say, in America would like.
Right.
And I thought, these people are well-read.
Yeah.
You know, why are you not talking to them with the... I always was taught to talk to the audience at the top of my intelligence.
Right, okay.
And either they get it or they don't. It's not an arrogance.
Yeah.
It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
We did what we thought was funny.
Yeah.
We had no idea anybody would think it was funny. I remember thinking, though, boy, if they ever show the show in London, it'll do great.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Fawlty Towers is the only show I could compare Curb to.
Right.
Which, I don't want to say is an insult to Fawlty Towers. Fawlty Towers is probably the greatest show ever, you know. But nonetheless...
Do you know, I'm not a fan of Fawlty Towers.
Oh, well, I think you're wrong.
Do you want to step outside and have a fight
no,
about that? Monty Python I love, but Fawlty Towers, no, it just Fawlty irritates
Towers,
me.
Oh, it makes me so happy, I don't
really?
Know what to say, yes.
You just think, stop shouting, calm down, and you can sort everything
out.
You
know what you need to do? You need to go to Topshop and get some outfits. That's what I think you need to do.
I will go to Topshop after
you
this.
Head to Topshop. I first heard about Topshop on the Mighty Boosh.
Really?
Yeah, because they said, where'd you get that shirt? My son and I laugh about this. I have two boys. We all watched Mighty Boosh. And where'd you get that shirt? Topshop. Got a Topshop.
Who'd have thought that Topshop is big in the world of Jeff Garlin?
It was just for, you know, just in terms of saying...
So are you saying that in your stand-up, we're not going to get any dick jokes?
Not in terms of...
Intelligent dick jokes.
Yeah, you know, I don't even label anything. I don't do many jokes.
Right.
You know, I'm just funny. So we'll see what happens. I don't
he
know.
He said it. He's just funny.
I am just funny. I don't know. Like, I can't... Yeah, I tell stories and I talk and, you know, and hopefully people will dig it and they'll get something out of
yeah.
it.
So, Curb Enthusiasm, I was reading you were going to just direct it?
I was just going to direct it. He insisted I play his manager, and he insisted that I be executive producer with him.
It's one of the funniest characters on TV, the manager.
Oh,
it's It's just hilarious. There's so many great scenes where you're not really doing very much, but you're just sat there just looking on, and it's just wonderful.
Well, thank you. I have gotten that compliment before, and I think it's the highest compliment ever, when you get credit for doing nothing. And I just like to be in the... I don't need to try and be funny.
Yeah.
Larry David writes these scenarios that we film, you know, and they're so funny, I don't have to try. And I know who my character is, and I, if other people need to talk in a scene, I let them, you know.
Again, season 4, episode 1, just because I watched it yesterday, there's this great bit where he's being attacked by the lesbian because he claims that the receptionist took the reward for handing the wallet to the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then this lesbian comes as you hate our lifestyle. And you're literally just sat there in the back of the seat. And it's just brilliant, man. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, that's Larry David.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to work with him.
And he writes, it's not scripted. You kind of improvise.
And he writes, like I said, scenarios. It's like a normal script for a half hour comedy is 30, 35 pages. Ours are about 7 pages, 10 on the long side, you know. So we improvise our dialogue, but the scenes are there.
And do you ever do a scene and it just doesn't work? And you kind of go off, scratch your head saying, well, this hasn't really...
We make adjustments on every scene after we do a take. Let's do it differently this time. Let's do this. So we make adjustments constantly. But I don't think that we've ever had something where it just didn't work. Sometimes we've shot things where we're like, oh, we're not really happy with that. So we reshot them. We've done that a few times, but, you know.
Season 8, don't give us away anything, but can you? Is there a kind of through line in this one that you can hint
Less
at?
Less than normal.
Right.
We start out in California and we end up in New York.
Okay.
That's about it.
That's all we're getting.
Yeah,
Come on.
No,
Jeff,
no. I don't. I keep it. By the way, if you're a fan, you don't want to know.
You're right. Yeah.
You want to be surprised.
Yeah. It's a brilliant show. It kind of struggled out. It doesn't get the audience it deserves, I think, over here, because it, in the same way that Seinfeld, one of the greatest shows of all time, of course, Larry David was kind of behind that as well. And it was just on at a different time each week. It'd be on a Tuesday at 10:45.
Well, that screws the show.
And it was awful. So it didn't get the following.
Is our show on the same time every week?
It kind of is, but you sometimes have to look for it.
Is this
no slight on Channel 4? Yeah, no slight on Channel 4.
Or is this Sky whatever?
Sky Atlantic. Getting whispered the answer. Atlantic.
They're showing the first few seasons now, and Channel 4 shows the new one.
Showing the new one, yeah.
And
it's great that Sky Atlantic are doing that, because I'm just Sky Plusing it and catching up with all of it.
And
in the past, Channel 4 have been a little bit, well, you've got to hunt for it. If you want it, you've got to find it. I'm sure it'll be fine
with
this season.
That's a terrible way to do business. I need to talk to these people at Channel 4. If you want it, you got to find it. Boy, if they did that in American television, there'd be no viewers.
But I'm sure this season they're going to sort all of that out and it'll be easy. But it means you get loads of DVD sales because it just flies off the racks. Are you on points for that?
Yes, I do get points for that. I don't even know how much. They always claim they lose. But, you know...
they're lying to you then.
Yeah, but DVDs, you know, I guess digital down... I don't know. I have no idea, you know, in terms of... I mean, the DVDs, hopefully they fly off. I don't know.
Now, are there stupid people? There must be stupid people.
There's tons of stupid people. Is that the question?
There's at least two in this room. I'm not saying who.
But no, there are so many stupid people, I cannot believe it. I mean... The existence of some of the artists and some of the TV shows and some of the movies that people go see proves they're stupid people.
Yeah. But I'll finish the question.
Okay.
Are there stupid people who approach you and really think that you are Jeff, hit Larry's manager?
They did the first couple of seasons.
Right.
And by the time the second season was over, never. But they were... sometimes they were intelligent. They thought that I was really his manager, you know. But... No, I mean, you know, then it got some really people that were really dumb, you know. But no, it doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, because we're over here, like in the soaps and stuff, if there's a guy I know, I sort of know loosely, played a paedophile. Uh-huh. A pedophile in a soap opera, and you know he'd walk down the street and people would shout "nonce," and you know he would get abuse in the street because they genuinely
nonce. What's that?
Nonce is kind of slang for a pedophile.
Oh, see, I have no. And you know what's great about that? I have nothing in my act about pedophiles.
Oh, there you go. Because it's always when an American comes over and they're going pedophiles. English are going, it's pedophile. It's pedophile. Say it properly, please.
Yeah, pedophile. Okay.
Aluminium as well.
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
What's that?
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
Yeah.
Aluminium. Do you really say it aluminium?
We say aluminium.
Shut up, you do not.
We totally do.
How did I not know that? I have tons of English friends.
You see,
that's crazy.
You don't know the language.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's hysterical. Oh, my God. Well, if I have any aluminium, whatever it is, you know, aluminium, okay.
So you've been how long have you been doing stand-up for? You've been doing that for, like, forever.
29 years.
And how did you start out? What?
I was 20 years old. And I was always the funniest kid in school. Yeah. And I was going to University of Miami in Florida, studying filmmaking. And I just sort of got the itch. And I went up and I passed auditions the first night. And I've been doing it ever since. That was 1982, June 14th, 1982.
Wow, you remember the date?
Yeah.
And who else was doing it at the same time? What kind of people were you on the circuit with?
On the circuit with? Like, who's gone on to be famous?
Well, yeah.
Let's see here. I remember opening for Tim Allen.
Wow.
Jerry Seinfeld had just started to become a big comic. He wasn't big on TV or anything.
Yeah.
The big act when I started, like the newest act, was Eddie Murphy.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he had just gotten Saturday Night Live, and he was doing... No, he had gotten Saturday Night Live a while back, but I remember the first year I started comedy is when 48 Hours came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The early 80s, I mean, I was only like 8, 9, 10 years old, but there's some fantastic...
I was 20, yeah, so, yeah.
Fantastic movies. And have you ever... Yeah. You've done a few movies.
I've done quite a few movies, a lot of bad ones.
Really? Some stinkers?
Yeah, early in my... Yes, a lot. Actually, there's two movies I'm extraordinarily proud of, and they're animated, and that's Toy Story 3, but more than anything, I'm more proud of my working on WALL-E.
Now, because I tweeted that you were coming in yesterday.
Yes.
And loads of people went, brilliant, Jeff from Curb. Yeah. A couple of people went, who? Right. And someone went, hey, it's the guy from WALL-E.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
So,
but I'm more proud of WALL-E than anything, including
really?
Curb. Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, more proud. WALL-E, I think, is one of the most special movies I've ever seen. And the idea that I'm part of that blows my mind.
Well, it was huge. Was it Disney? It was Disney.
Pixar. Yeah, Disney Pixar.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. And that whole kind of, you know... So kids, you must have cute, loads of fans.
Well,
that are kids.
The kids know me from Daddy Daycare, a movie I did with Eddie Murphy.
Okay, yeah, of course.
And then they know me. There's a TV show. I don't know if it's on here, called Wizards of Waverly Place.
No,
that I'm occasionally on.
Right.
And so kids stop me all the time, and they don't really know that I'm the guy in WALL-E.
Yeah.
Or Toy Story 3. When they talk to me and I tell them, they can't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very quickly,
I'm going to be very quick.
No, I'm sure you've got a busy day.
I don't know what
to...
I've got.
Has he got
a
busy
do whatever
day?
Hannah tells me. Hannah tells me. Hannah's from HBO, everybody. Call her over there.
Can we get some like free DVDs, Hannah? All right.
Hannah handles everything.
Good.
The proper region. Your DVDs will be the proper region.
I've got multi-region, but that'll
be. You're multi-region.
Yeah,
okay,
I hacked into my DVD player.
Okay.
HBO shows Curb Enthusiasm in the States.
Yeah.
And that means, is that the only channel that allows all that swearing?
There's a few others.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know... To me, it's like how you use the swearing.
Oh, yeah,
you know, if you just do it real, like, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people who write for regular network television in the States, if they were given the license, would just have people swearing for no reason.
Yeah. It must be quite freeing, though. And it is what I think...
It is freeing because you don't have to think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, to improvise, you can't have these boundaries on you, you know? And then, you know, it's not scripted. So, you know, it's... It's quite freeing, quite fun,
Very shocking, years ago when, I think it's season one, the obituary episode.
Oh,
Mark, you're going to have to do some bleeping here.
Beloved aunt.
Yeah, dearly beloved cunt.
Okay.
And it's just, because over here, it's kind of a bit more relaxed, but a few years ago, the C word was very rarely on TV.
Right.
And if it was on TV, there was a special warning before the show saying this show contains particularly strong language.
I thought, if it said this show contains the word cunt. Please be careful.
Yeah. Turn off if you do not like the word cunt.
Yeah, I put the ad in the I put the obituary in the paper, and my connection or screws up and puts a C instead of an A. Yeah.
And it's just it was such a shock.
Yeah.
But it was brilliant. I was having an argument with my wife the other day. She doesn't think swearing's funny. I said, no, it is. If you do it properly.
If you do it properly, everything is funny.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, anything can be funny if it's all about the point of view, you know.
Mm.
Shock value, I'm not into.
Yeah. I have to say as well, Ted Danson's a revelation.
Oh, a revelation. By the way, one of the greatest people you'll
really?
Ever meet.
Yes. Oh, good, I'm glad.
Oh, he's a great person, and he is so amazing on the show, although he is not on the show this season.
I read an interview, and he was kind of pissed off that he wasn't.
Yeah, but not really pissed off, but he'll give me crap when he sees me, and... But he's got another show on HBO.
He's doing all right.
Bored to Death. Do they have that on here yet?
Yeah, we've got that.
Okay.
He's nearly 70 now, isn't he? He's
I don't
pushing
know how
it.
Old he is, but he looks like he's 40.
He looks good.
And he's going to get laid at any minute.
Because the thing is, I think after Cheers, he sort of became a bit of a joke. Do you know, in this country? You know,
well,
no.
Here's what happened. And because you can see why his work on Curb and Bored to Death. I think Curb changed his career.
Totally.
Post... Cheers, because after Cheers, he did very mainstream, you know, sitcoms that sort of, because he said to me once when we were filming a scene in Beverly Hills, I remember, we were walking to our trailers, and he said, you know, I can never do the work I did before anymore. I can't do it anymore. Curb has totally changed the way I approach my work.
Yeah.
And he's He's spectacular.
He's incredible in it.
Yeah.
So I get that.
He's great on Bored to Death, too. He's really great.
They're all Sky Plus, so I'm going to watch those. But it's that kind of it's that prejudice you get. And Cheers was a great series. But then you see, he's going to be in it. Mm, okay. But just, fantastic. What a great actor he is.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And great that he's got this rebirth.
Yes, I couldn't be happier.
And could you do me a favour?
I can do anything you want, Michael.
Okay, good. The lady that plays Larry's wife.
Yeah, Cheryl Hines.
She's one of the hottest women in the world.
She's beautiful.
Could you just kind of say there's this kind of tall, lanky English DJ in the,
Who's married?
Who's married? Well, now, yes.
Yes.
At the moment.
At the moment.
But if Cheryl kind of, if there's even a hint of interest, this ring comes off very, very easily.
Okay.
Bleep that bit out as well, please, Mark, because...
Okay. All right.
We'll get very,
well,
very
all I can tell you is she's as beautiful as she is, that's how lovely she is.
Good.
She's I was just talking with my wife about her, how much I love her. Just love her.
Listen, it's so nice to meet you. Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 8 is coming out. If you've not seen it, and there's a chance you may not have seen any of it, just treat yourself to Season 1 on the DVD.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Be nice to yourself.
Yeah, go on, mate. Look after yourself.
Come on, mate.
I'll do my
And then I'll meet you at Top Shop.
Shall I do my American accent?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, man, I'm going to go down to the Banana Republic and get myself some nice clothes.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
No. But you know what the thing about it is? It's the put on. This part of it makes it sound
a
little put on.
New York City.
No, it doesn't sound like New York City. But I mean, like, the enunciation is perfect.
Yeah.
But the.
You don't like the gruffness.
It just sounds like a character.
Okay.
I talk like this, hello, ma'am. Come aboard my cab. You know, if I do a voice like that, I sound like
Brian Blessed.
I don't know who Brian Blessed is.
He's a very famous English actor who sounds exactly like that. In that voice, could you just say, Gordon's alive?
Gordon's alive!
It's Brian Blessed.
Blimey, Gordon's alive! Hello, ma'am. Come aboard.
And you're playing the Soho Theatre this Thursday, the 23rd, through to Sunday.
Yes.
I'm expecting there'll be swear words in the show.
There are swear words in the show, and actually my wife criticized me because she saw me in Los Angeles as I was running the show for audiences there to prepare. She said, boy, you've gotten pretty dirty. Because I've done 29 years. I've gone and done shows where I'm 100% clean.
Yeah.
And this one, it's a bit... naughty.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Very, very quickly, the pilot episode of Curb, which my wife and I were watching the other day.
The hour-long special.
Yeah. And after he does his first stand-up, it's kind of become our running joke, because I do a little bit of stand-up, and my wife says the same thing that Cheryl says to him. You said pussy too much. Pussy's a funny word. You said pussy too much.
Yeah. I remember filming that in the back of this cafe where he was doing it. Yeah.
It's a great show. Yeah, Jeff, thank you very much. Best of luck with the dates. I'm sure you'll be a huge success.
I hope so. I'm feeling very confident. I'm not changing my words.
As you said, you're a naturally funny guy. So.
I'm a naturally funny guy, and I hope people understand me. That's my only fear right now, is that I'm funny, I've prepared, I'm excited about what I'm doing, and the audience stares at me because they're just not getting what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because it's not translating. And there's a distinct possibility. So if you are coming to the Soho Theater, I'm apologizing to you ahead of time if you don't enjoy what I do. Because, you know, the thing is, that's what Curb's taught me. You live and die by the sword.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm not a pandering sort.
Mm.
I respect for my audience.
So if you want to see a man possibly doing very well or possibly dying on his ass for an hour, Soho Theatre.
Could go either way.
Thursday through to Sunday.
Could be fantastic, huge laughs. Could be silence.
Either way, you're on to a winner.
I'm on.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.